Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 227, the stanzas 1 and 3. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. And what follows, Psalter 227, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Hebrews 10, the verses 1 through 17. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Hebrews 10, the first 17 verses. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, a sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou wast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, and neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. And then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer the congregation and town of Rock Valley, where there has been great flooding and where they cannot use their sanctuary on account of the water. And Mrs. Ada Meljars, that is scheduled for thyroid surgery this Tuesday. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. A merciful, good-doing, and ever-faithful God of the heavens and of the earth, but also thou who art so righteous, that thou art of pure eyes to behold iniquity. And we and our children, we are a sinful people, and yet thy mercies may yet abound, where also in the past week that thou wast made a great difference where there is no difference, where thou wast spared from great storms of destruction, where thou wast given gentle rains upon the earth, and thou wast given the sun to shine, then thou wast made a difference with the congregation of our denomination, where thou wast spoken with thy power and with thy majesty, where thou wast opened the heavens, and there were none that could shut, and where thou wast sent great flooding upon that town, where many had to flee, others in the night watches were rescued, and thou wast spared the whole congregation, although there have been reports of others that have been taken away. It is all known unto thee. Well, thou uphold all those family circles which have lost their possessions, and where their dwellings are beyond repair. Grant them a place at thy footstool. Wilt thou spare from rebellion, and for the whole congregation, they cannot go up to their house of worship, because it is flooded. Then the psalmist has declared, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And then we humbly beg of thee, Lord, may that people, may they be given to hear thy voice. May it be a powerful speaking, that it may be sanctified, that sinners may be converted by thee unto thee, that a backsliding church may be given to repent, and that they may be drawn or driven to thy holy word. May we be given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then in this morning hour, then thou wast not done as we deserve, but the doors of thy house have been opened, and we may have the privilege to enter those doors. And we're in this morning hour, not only the audible gospel hopes to be proclaimed, but the visible gospel also administered in our midst. Ah, Lord, then we humbly ask thee for thy blessing, a blessing upon the singing, a blessing upon the reading of thy holy law, a blessing upon the reading of scripture, a blessing upon prayer, a blessing upon the proclamation of thy holy word, a blessing upon the reading of the form, and a blessing upon the administration of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. then for all those matters, then we need the work, the application of the Holy Spirit. 'Tis perfectly known unto thee how it has been in the past week, whether there have been those holy exercises concerning our sin, that godly sorrow, that humility, that repentance, exercises concerning those weights, exercises concerning the sin which does so easily beset us, exercises concerning our unbelief, but also those exercises by that true saving faith, that there was a looking upon Jesus. O Lord, wilt thou remember us in this morning hour with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people? Impress upon all of our hearts that it is a holy table instituted by a holy Savior for a holy purpose, with holy promises, and that for a people that have learned that they are unholy in themselves, but holy in another. Lord, thou knowest most perfectly how that each and every one has come up to thy house. May it have been as we have sung together out of thy word, with that longing and with that fainting for the courts of the Lord. Lord, it is all thy work, and thou hast a people upon the earth that learns more and more that it is so. Then we read in thy holy word that the bride-to-be has declared, "Draw me, and we will run after thee. He will bring me into his chambers, oh, to that banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." Then, Lord, it is thy work to give that spiritual appetite, that hunger and thirst for thy dear Son and his righteousness and his holiness. To that end, we humbly ask thee, O King of the Church, wilt thou set a watch thyself over and around thy table to bring those that have a wedding garment and to grant them a place. Thou as a people that are so dependent upon thee, and that the outgoing may be the glory of thy great and thy worthy name. O Lord, do remember all those that stand outside, young and old, all traveling and hastening to a never-ending eternity. Oh, may their hearts be filled with a holy jealousy, with a prayer unto thee, the living God, that thou may convert them as thou hast converted all thy people by thy free and sovereign grace to learn what we are, a lost, a condemnable, a hell-worthy sinner, a sinner who can never save themselves, but the precious name of Jesus may still be proclaimed amongst us, O Lord. May it please thee then to be mindful of us in this morning hour, and may thy presence, may thy blessing, may it be experienced in a special way. We remember all the temporal needs, the mourning ones, the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted ones, the mother who is scheduled for surgery. Oh, wilt thou go with her together with her dear husband? Guide the hand of the physicians, and that this solemn calling, that it may be sanctified. Lord, we humbly ask thee to grant thy gracious help in this morning hour with the administration of word and sacrament. May our eyes be upon the King of the Church, who has promised to never forsake his church. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 45, the stanzas 1 through 4. And now the King in thy strength shall be joyful, O Lord. Thy salvation shall make him rejoice, for the wish of his heart thou dost freely accord, the request of a suppliant voice, and what follows, Psalter 45, the first four stanzas. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Hebrews 12, the second verse, all the words except the last phrase. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Our text words speak of looking unto a suffering and dying Jesus, with three thoughts in the first place: Jesus' joy set before him. Secondly, Jesus endured the cross. And in the third place, Jesus despising the shame. Looking unto a suffering and dying Jesus. Jesus' joy set before him. Jesus enduring the cross. And Jesus despising the shame. Beloved congregation, our text words speak of exercises which the Holy Spirit grants unto his true people concerning the ways of salvation. And when the Holy Spirit works, 'tis true, can be many questions, can be many riddles, but then such souls, then they can speak of those holy matters, not just faint notions in their mind with some emotion, but matters which are experienced. 'Cause when the Holy Spirit works, it is the Spirit's work to make room in the hearts of his chosen church for that precious Jesus. And then the Spirit, when he works, then it becomes real. We become exercised with our soul. We become exercised with our sin. We become exercised with the attributes of God. We become so exercised with that never-ending eternity and the need to be saved. And then the Spirit shall teach his people that they can never save themselves with all their efforts and with all their reformation, that it becomes a lost case from their side, to make room for a revelation of the gospel, that only mediator between God and man. And when we read in our text, looking unto Jesus, then it is clearly implied that looking, that it refers to true saving faith. When we compare Numbers 21 with John 3, with that people that have been bitten by those poisonous serpents and where that poison has permeated all the members of their body. And there is a church that is given to experience it. And then we read that the Lord has given the command to make that brazen serpent, to put it on a pole that it may be raised up. And then it is written that everyone that would look upon that brazen serpent would be immediately perfectly healed. And when we read thereof in John 3, where John has spoken to Nicodemus, did not begin with the verses 14, 15, and 16, but as first stated, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But then those leadings of the Spirit bloweth where it listeth. Thou heareth the sound thereof, thou cannot telleth when it cometh, and whether it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit of God. And then Christ is given to refer to Numbers 21, that is, Moses has lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. As so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth, thus instead of looking, then that word believeth is used, believeth on the Son of God, shall be saved. And now in our text words, then the church is given, is exhorted to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, oh, that great love, so unfathomable, so deep, can never be understood. The apostle has written to the Ephesians in Ephesians 3, who was able to comprehend the depth, the height, the width of that love that passeth all understanding, that Jesus, it is portrayed, it is declared, the assurance thereof at the sacrament of the Lord's table with that broken bread and that poured out wine, the great love of Jesus for the chiefest of sinners. And then in our text it is declared, oh, the way for Jesus was so deep, was so heavy, and if the divine nature had not supported that human nature, then he would have succumbed, to say it simply, boys and girls, then Jesus would have melted away under that great wrath of the Father against sin. But that divine nature that has upheld him. And now concerning that suffering, then in our text, then the living and true church is exhorted, oh, to look, we have mentioned Thursday evening, that word looking in the original Greek, that implies to look away from something else and to look at a certain object. Oh, what a lesson for the living child of God, to look above the circumstances, look outside of self, and to look upon that precious Jesus That is the exercise of faith in people. When that precious gospel may be opened, the Lord is free and sovereign, the one more gradually, the other very sudden, but then such a soul as shall be enabled to tell thereof, a way outside of himself, no merit of self, free and sovereign grace, a Jesus who has come upon the earth. And now we read that for a Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, oh, that was already in the council of peace, when the Trinity is counseled together, whether there would be a way with the harmonizing of all of God's attributes, whether there may also be sons and daughters which may join that holy throng above, oh, a little beginning here below, to taste of the good things of the Lord, the love of Christ experienced in their heart as the way back to the Father by the work of the Holy Spirit. Then the Trinity is counseled together concerning that chosen church, whether there would be a way that sinners may be saved, sinners that have left the Lord in paradise, sinners that have ruined everything, transgressors from the womb, covenant breakers, despisers of the law of God, and sinners who have learned that they have counted the blood of Jesus an unclean thing. Oh, then it was the joy set before Jesus that he was willing to come. Oh, that eternal love, as we read in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, that I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, then for the joy that was set before, we read it in Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8, quoted by the apostle in the portion of Scripture which we have read together. Lo, I come, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is written within my heart. Oh, what was the joy that was set before him, that he has given himself in the council of peace, that he would come upon this earth, which is cursed because of our sins, that his church may be saved. And what was now thy joy that was set before the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, we read thereof, oh, in the first place, it was the honor and the glory of his Father. How clearly that shines forth in the prayer, in his high priestly prayer, in John 17, I have glorified thee upon the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And now concerning thy joy, then in the next place, it concerned his church, that black bride that lay polluted in their blood, as I read in Ezekiel 16, oh, do we not read thereof in Psalm 2, the verses 7 and 8, that as a reward upon his finished meritorial work in the state of his humiliation, because justice need to be satisfied, oh, the Lord can never step over a sin, young and old, have we now become deeply exercised with our sin, and that not only by the first time, But oh, in the life of the people of God, when it may be right and when it may be tender, continually exercised, oh, in the context it is different, in those further leadings, but then that continually godly sorrow and that repentance, oh, a crying with the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But then in the exercises, looking unto Jesus. And then we have stayed at Thursday evening to look unto Jesus. Then we need to have received a saving knowledge by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that he is fairer than the children of men, and that grace is poured out upon his lips, that he is white and ruddy, and that he is the chiefest among 10,000s. Ah, those precious invitations concerning a looking unto Jesus. But now for the joy that was set before him, that he shall receive an inheritance, a reward. The heathen and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession, that a Christ with the pain of the price, oh, that dowry which he was called, that was the work that the Father has placed before him, that upon the payment of that dowry, that he would receive his reward. And young and old, who is that reward? That is his black bride, that is ruined and sinned everything away. A bride that is deserved to be sent to hell. And yet that love for that bride, and that was now the joy set before him, in his deepest suffering, an eye upon his Father's glory, but also an eye upon that bride that would be wrought upon by the Spirit, that would be drawn by the cords of love. And the Spirit would teach that bride, oh, make room in the heart of that bride, pour out that love in the heart of that bride, that that bridegroom may become hers. That was now the joy that was set before him. Oh, what rich things are declared in our text. And now for that joy that was set before him. Ah, to that end we may believe. When we read in the Garden of Gethsemane, where his sweat has become as gray drops of blood, when we read that an angel has come to strengthen him, when we consider the Scriptures, the ministry of the angels concerning his people, how they were given to encourage, to comfort, and to instruct his people, then we may also believe, oh, that angel that has set that joy, his church before him, the purpose of his suffering, that the church may be saved. Oh, for the joy that was set before him. Do we not read in Luke 22, verse 15, that I have greatly desired to eat this Passover with you before ye suffer, oh, to partake to that end. Christ as King has instituted the table of the covenant, that he may reveal that joy, that he may declare that unfathomable love. But now, to gain his bride, what a dowry had to be paid. And to that end, in our second thought, endure Jesus, enduring the cross. And when we read that word cross, there's the only time that it is written in our text words in the book of Hebrews. But then that cross, that includes all his sufferings. Our instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism has a clearly stated it, that he has suffered all the days of his life. His whole life was a suffering. And for the joy that was set before him, he was so willing to suffer. He was so willing to die. He was that lamb without blemish. Opened not his mouth. Silent before the shears. He has come to suffer and die. He has endured the cross. That his church may be saved. But especially at the end of his life, how that suffering has greatly increased. Matthew 26, verse 38. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He was willing to endure the cross, the broken bread, the poured out wine. They speak so profoundly of those matters. And when we speak of enduring the cross, the bodily suffering was great. But oh, the suffering of a soul together with his body. That body and soul, they have labored under the wrath of his holy Father against the sin of all his people. And the Lord has a people that is given to labor under that wrath. So just, so terrible. And from our side, no escape. Where the justice of God is called upon to punish sin, each of our sins, with temporal and eternal punishments. Oh, enduring the cross, we read profound expressions in the scripture concerning that curse. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we do not only read that the Father has laid the curse upon his Son, but that he was made a curse, including the whole being of Jesus. In Galatians 3, verse 13, thus in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, there it speaks of sin because of that curse that is spoken of in Galatians 3, verse 13. Not only the curse laid upon him, but he was made a curse. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, there is spoken not only the sin laid upon him, but that he was made sin, despising the shame. There's one thing for a person to take someone's punishment, willing to bear the punishment for another. But it is a deeper matter when one is given to take the shame of another. Does not say in our text to share the shame or carry a portion of the shame. course, can be any old boys and girls, young people, that you do not put shame upon your parents with your life, then how sad they become, that they are also partakers of your shame. Of course, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? But now for Jesus, it is written in our text, Jesus despising the shame. He was accused. He was arrayed before different judgment halls, church, and government. False witnesses has risen up, but as the Lamb of God, he was silent. In the hall of Caiaphas, the hall of Annas, before Pontius Pilate, before Herod, before the Jewish people, then he was willing to carry that shame. His preaching was not believed. His miracles were downplayed. And at the end, as a malefactor, and then he has taken that shame which belonged to his church, he has taken it all upon himself, despising the shame. The end, hung upon the cross, naked, without clothing, numbered between two transgressors, has hung where there was no place in heaven, no place upon the earth. He has hung there. The beloved Son of the Father has always remained. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and that wonder and that love, that endurance, that finishing of his work, that he was willing to take the shame of his church, their sin, their curse. Oh, the love of Christ, also for his joy, has instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that he may declare something of that love. We read in Isaiah 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised, but now the love of Christ, so richly, so beautifully, so tenderly, so compassionately portrayed in the sacrament which he has instituted in the broken bread, the poured out wine, and where it is fulfilled, what we read in Isaiah 53, verse 10, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see a seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Amen. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 444, the stanzas 1 and 2. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. With all thy power, exalt, O God, who is thy strength and tower. Let all within me bless his holy name. And what follows? The consistory announces that the Banner of Truth and the Learning and Living magazines are at the exit. Psalter 444, the first two stanzas.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.